consulting work, the VIP protection decision will give them the responsibility for those things that they couldn't on Tuesday. When were they there? Yeah, Tuesday. So let's start with that, Commissioner Schutte. Over to yourself, please.
Thank you, Chairperson. Firstly, just to indicate who are here today in terms of additions, new additions for the day. Firstly, apart from yesterday, we have the Technology Management Services, General Kubani Buthelezi, and Brigitte Massos, who are attending today in terms of the e-docket presentation. Then we also have, obviously, General Ngobo, General Klane, and Brigadier Mimutan Zela. We have also Colonel Guma and Colonel Peterson here today in terms of the CI and Protection Services environment. So, colleague, you will see that the presentation or the server is not, shall I say, open yet. And therefore, I think the chair has room that we start with VIP protection. And you can maybe just then indicate the answer, respond. Indicate the answer, respond. Thank you, Chairperson. Over to you, General Corbett.
You can start.
Thank you very much, and good morning, committee. Answer that was asked previously, Chair, was the first one. I combined these answers as empowerment, meaning that the VIP related questions, then will be answered together, and then in the government security regulator or national key point, answers will be answered in that format. Around the VIP question, one was that if there is any foreign VIPs who live in South Africa, and whether if they receive VIP protection. Yes, there is foreign VIPs that are living in South Africa, which for two of them, of which one of them we started giving state protection from 2009, and the other one joined 2010. And they both get close protection and state protection. Then in terms of question two, that was also referring to why do we have to pay over time once there is a shift system. In the VIP environment, there are two categories that are functioning there. One of them is static protection, and the second one is in-transit protection, of which static protection is the overtime is only applicable to in-transit protection. Those people that work more than 8 hours, they are not office bound. So the shift system is only applicable to a static environment. And then in terms of question three, why there was 8% increase in expenditure of the program? I think that one was also answered also by General Schutte. I think I'll also leave it to General Schutte as well, that one. And also to say that these luxury cars that were using there, the question was asked, what are they used for? What are they actually doing? The one that we've got in Program 5 refers to the VIP cars that are transporting the VIP, that's one. Two, the protection cards that are used for protection duties only. And those two that we're referring to in terms of the ministerial, we're respecting to the presidency and the ministry's office. And then the rest then are export cards for that environment. And then also the question on what amount was spent on this luxury car, and that one also I would like to leave it to General Schutte to deal with that one. Then the other question was, what does the slide on the government security regulator say? That is in terms of the slide 8 that was presented on Tuesday. And then the answer thereof was that 50%, that is 124 of strategic installations, which are national and provincial government buildings, will be audited during 2013-2014. And then the minimum physical security standard regulates the standard of physical security to ensure that the same standard is maintained at all government departments. That is strategic installation. The the minimum physical security standards determine the government departments that need to be audited every 3 years. However, such do the audit every 2 years. Now the 50% 1 year and the other 50% the following year, continuing with the cycle thereafter. As a second answer to the same question, 100%, that is out of 197 of national key points, that will be evaluated during the financial year 2013-2014 as required by the National Key Points Act. And in terms of the, those were the questions around the VIP-related question, but in terms of also the questions around the government security regulator, then the question was asked, let's say, what does the audit of strategic installation entail, and what are the strategic installations? Then the answer thereof was, the auditing strategic installation focuses on matters relevant to the following, to ensure that the same standard of physical security is maintained at all government buildings, which is strategic installation. And those strategic installations, as I said, it focuses on the following. These are the following: organizational structure, security breaches, perimeter and illumination, security patrols, access and egress control. Then in terms of the question B, what are the strategic installations? Strategic installation refers to all spheres of government buildings. That means all the buildings that are for government, and then we call them a strategic installation. Then in terms of question three, to explain the process of declaring the national key point. Then a national key point can only be declared in two ways, as it was explained previously, namely based on application by the owner and also by the minister in terms of the Article 2 of 1 of 2. That is National Key Point Act of 102 of 1980. And then the follow-up question there was, who declares the National Key Point? In terms of Section 2 of the National Key Point Act, 102 of 1980, the minister declares any place or area as a National Key Point. And then in terms of the question 4, to explain the classification process of a National Key Point. A national key point can be classified in two ways.
Sorry, can I just stop you? Can you just clarify? You said the minister declares, the minister of police, or the minister of state security?
The minister of police now. That is in terms of the proclamation. The minister of police. Thank you, Chair. And then in terms of explaining the classification process involved in the national key point environment. The national key point, as I've said, can be declared in two ways, by the owner and by also by the minister himself. And then the other question was, when last was the parliament complex in Western Cape being evaluated? And then the answer, it was evaluated on the 24th of October last year, 2012. And then the other question was, what did the evaluation entail? And then the evaluation evaluations of national key points focuses on matters relevant to the following, to ensure compliance with the standards, uniformity and protection of the national key point as prescribed by the NKP Act. And those acts are NKP National Key Point Directives, Procedures, Adherence, Shooting practices, security system maintenance, security control, egress control, etc., etc. And then the other one was, who is responsible for implementation and ensuring compliance to security standards of the parliament? The ensuring of compliance with the security standards of parliament is the owner, of which in this instance is the Department of Public Works, in conjunction with the legislature. Yeah, in conjunction with the security manager of parliament. And then also coming back to the one of the IPs that was asked in terms of the members that were demoralized and complaints that were received of them being placed in one place, deployed in one place as a safety protector. The answer was when placed again, when members are placed at the environment, at the safety protection, members receive basic VIP training as well as national checkpoint training to perform their duties in safety. But what also came up in our own as program 5, the carrier mobility that applied, is that when progressing to 2 years of service and safety protection, members also get the opportunity to undergo the advanced VIP protection training, and when found competent, members progress to become the close protection officers. Number two, when the members also get an opportunity to be trained as physical security advisors or national key point evaluators or auditors. Three, they also apply for transfers. That's also one of the opportunities that is given to the members, that they can also apply for transfers or course transfers to an environment of their choice to specialize in other fields within the organization, that is the SAPS. And then the other one that was asked on financial matters was also to explain the large increase in the machinery and equipment. I think that one will also give it to General Fete to go into details on that. And then also the one that of entertainment, I think I'll also leave that one of which I think it was answered on Tuesday. But also General Fete, I think, can give you that one. As well as this one of financial, of a compensation increase in terms of program 5 higher than the other program. Also, that one was explained by or answered by General Spet on Tuesday.
Option not to repeat the things that has been asked, not even for us because you're wasting time. To read those things that are outstanding, please.
Thank you very much, Chair. And I think those were the questions that were asked around the program 5. Thank you.
Okay. The presentation be presented to the committee secretary, please. The answers, that you give the answers to the committee secretary, please.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, we shall provide that to the committee secretary. That's just basically the one outstanding one, because in the APP, in the under machinery equipment, in 2011-12 and 2012-13, there were high amounts, which is decreased in the current financial year. It was indicated to members that it was because of upgrades of the vehicle fee. The questions were asked what were provided for how many vehicles. Obviously, we can't go into where it are made and so forth. The fact of the matter is mostly it was for the VIP protection fee to a large extent. In 11-12, there was a 63 million budget, of which 45 million was basically for 60 vehicles to upgrade, especially the presidential protection fee. And then there were 65 in 12-13 for 35 vehicles, of which 21.8 million was provided for these 35 vehicles. So all in all, in the vicinity of 95 vehicles, so that fleet at least is upgraded. We're talking about not just the armored vehicles you talked about before, and other vehicles as well in that environment. And then the figure now for 13-14 decreases again to 37.8, because what we said also to the committee is you can't have these kind of recurring baselines because you don't buy a new armored vehicle every year. It takes a number of years. It's not a replacement thing. So we actually work very similar to a deployment figure that you might have in Sudan or whatever. You work on an actual need. What's your need? Come to us and we see what how we can assist you. Is there a program in place, which vehicles and so forth? And that was why it decreased actually from the previous 2 years in this regard. And in that regard, the vehicles decreased significantly to around 6-7 million. The others are for other equipment such as radios and so forth. I hope it meets your priority.
We'll also get those figures and that you've mentioned to us in writing, please. If you've got it, you can just hand it over to the committee. Members, can I quickly check if there anybody who wants to ask a follow-up on this, remembering that this is not the main purpose for our... But if it's, let's make a clarity question, if possible. Honourable Mulabatsi.
Thank you, Chair. My follow-up to General Tawori is that you mentioned
also believe there's a question that is outstanding. That was the question of close protectors that I said to you that there's unhappiness. And that's fine. I'm bringing it under your attention. Let's hope there's not an incident so that I can come back and say to you, I told you so. The question that the member is asking is quite important. Because in this environment where we are, and because we've got engagement with these people, I know for a fact of a person here that has been here for years, female. Husband is not in the city. They have asked for a transfer. They've got somebody that said, but you remember the rail transfers? Well, yeah, cross transfers. Then suddenly, when this person, everything was arranged, then VIP protection says no. Now, what are we doing with the lives of people if we do that? You know, there's always this huge outcry from SAPS when people criticize the way that the police do stuff. But you yourself treat police personnel like they are motor vehicles. How can that person work effectively under these circumstances? You're married, your husband's in another town, and I'm not even talking to a town close by, I'm talking to a town about 500 kilometers from here. And everything is arranged and the VIP protection unit decides, no, this person can't move. And it's not a question that this person has been here for 2 years, 3 years, it's been here for a while. I'm just raising that. There was one more thing that I wanted to say, though, it's quite interesting. Every year, and I think members pick it up as well, every year after this hearing and after the annual report hearing, there's suddenly, for a week or two, a change in attitude at the static security in Parliament. This morning, for the first time in 15 years, I was told to put my bag through a scan. I'm a member of Parliament, I don't have to put my bag through a scan, and that's why I carry this card. But for the first time in 15 years, for the first time in 15 years, there's no consistency. It depends on who is on duty and who is not on duty. It depends on who is the commander at that point or who is not the commander at that point. You know, I don't mind putting my back through that, but then be consistent. Be consistent. If we know we must put our back through, we'll put it through. But one day you ask to do it, well, one day in 15 years, I've asked another colleague of mine how many times during his term have he been asked. He's been here more or less the same. He said four times. In 15 years, he's been asked to do it. In any case, let's move on. I don't think there's any other than that. One small one there, and then you can answer those very quickly, and then we move on to e-documents.
Just an addition on what the professor is saying. Given the buttons that we use, as I said, when you get to the gate, there's no consistency. At times, the officer will come inside the bus to check our tank or something, and at times you have your tank ready and nobody comes in, the bus doesn't move in, and so on and so on. Very inconsistent. Thank you.
Use the bus, but the worst is when they tell you to get outside that also happens. And anyway, let's move on. Can you quickly answer the clarity question, please?
Thank you, Chair. Thank you. We do receive transfer application from the members, and then it gets processed immediately from the environment where the member comes from up until to national. Those processes are in place. We also experience the same challenges in terms of the cross transfer. That sometimes maybe that's an isolated incident, as you said, but we make a follow up. That sometimes when the cross transfer, it normally doesn't depend on us. There should be a space for where the member is supposed to go, where they confirm that the member can be received from the other side.
And sometimes when we confirm that we don't have a challenge to release the number, and then that side they say the member is not, does not have a place to be received. That's one of the challenges we are having. Two is that I know that we have checked, even as we are sitting, this is what over time, that how many. We do two of the processes, like the previous financial year. We did receive and we did approve almost 300 transfers on the very same environment. So that's why I'm saying that maybe those are isolated and then we intervene as it comes to our attention, if it comes back again. But maybe those that did not kick out, that were not approved, maybe it's fine that there was a reason behind why it was not approved. Because as we are saying, sometimes you get first maybe also to put it clear that it is indeed the environment, the nature of the job itself. It's not a motivating job. Yes, it's not a motivating job. So it gets difficult that every time members, when they come, they feel demotivated by the fact that they work on one and the same environment. But those are the things that I've said, as I've explained, Madam Chair, that those are the processes involved, and that's how far we can try to assist the members when there's this problem. Thank you, Chair. And also to say we have taken note of what the chairperson has said in terms of the members not also being consistent in their thing. The processes around is that the members, they get targeted every time in the morning. Then they are getting briefed per environment, what is expected out of them. But then if there's no consistency, I suppose then we'll also take it up so that there's consistency. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. We will have to take up a consistent application, and it would also be probably necessary also just to reinforce that the Security Manager of Parliament for industry, who are directing to a large extent also certain aspects. Then also if you refer to a specific test, my ask General Gorbachev afterwards on the bilateral, just try to get that data, so you can have a look at it and deal with it.
That's good. I've seen this through more than a month ago. I haven't even received acknowledgement of the fee.
Is it possible also to provide the meeting in regard to the fee? That's it, General.
Continue then with the e-dockers, please.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning. The e-docket program is part of the greater integrated case docket management system that has been developed and has been coming over a period of time. I believe we have done the background presentation before the Parliament. I don't know if the committee would like us to go through that background.
Please, sir, carry on to the technical officer.
Okay. So we will jump right to slide number 8, which is really the status of the project. And I will allow General Telen to take the committee through the status.
Thank you, Chair, and the honorable members. The planning on the slide number 8 indicates the list of things to be implemented with the e-docket starting from the financial year 2011-2012 and 2012-2013, as well as 2013-2014, which is the current financial year. The presentation on board.
Wait, the copies of the presentation. Can somebody distribute the copies to the members, please?
Sorry, honorable chair, should be distributed.
Please.
Thanks. These are the timelines of the release on the development part of the ICDMS project. Currently, it is indicated per quarter on the financial calendar year. We have just completed the release 5 with the deliverables as indicated below, the enhancement of the e-statement, including the electronic signature, the adjudication part of it, the ID number verification with the database at Home Affairs, as well as the dashboard for the branch commanders. The work in progress is release 6, which will be finalized during August, which contains the adjudication, integration with the property control and asset management, operating strategy, separating of criminal statistics, additional complaints to the person commission of crime, personal number lookup, and the additional address description, and the management of 8.1.1, which contains the modus operandi of the case, as well as the Forensic Procedures Amendment Act, which needs to be incorporated to the system. That slide just depicts the deliverables up until the first financial quarter of the next financial year. The next slide, please. That is the indication of the deliverables expectation to be implemented starting from the financial year 2011-2012 up until now, 2013-2014. If we may move over to the list of stations that have been implemented so far on the next slide. In 2011-2012, we implemented 20 police stations. Those are the names of the police stations, Honorable Chair, which we started with the Gauteng province. Those stations were implemented in 2011-2012. In 2012-2013, we have implemented 59 police stations. The next slide, please. 59 police stations as indicated in the board. Stations in KZN, Northern Cape, Northwest, Mpumalanga, and Eastern Cape. Those are the current stations that are were implemented with the EJOCAT as you speak. I've got the list of stations that are planned to be implemented during this financial year, Honorable Chairperson, which gives us the total number of 132, and the list will be made available to the Secretary of the Portfolio Committee. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
May I just add that the rollout of the system, the application itself, the plan not to finish release 4 by end of March this year, which was done, and we had planned to up to 40 police stations to roll up to 59. The question might be, is the system actually being used? Are we getting any benefit from it? I think it's fair to say that with any new system, there is a big cost resistance on this on the user. A, because they are used to the old system, can still work. But the new system presents a different approach, a different process, which means instead of punching in your usual numbers, you now click the button. And so that is the one constraint. But the second constraint, which I think we have to be honest about, Jefferson, is that we have to go in tandem with the rollout of the network upgrade. Now, last year, and I'm sad to say that we did not progress with the network upgrade at all. We did not do not even one new site. I think this is another matter that we will discuss. There were a lot of delays at SLICA with the cabling tender. It was only our that this year now, February. So we want to do as much as possible so that in the 2 years we have to complete the program. That is the one serious concern that we have.
Before I open the question, go back to slide 8, please. In your mind, you say it's currently it was rolled out to 20 and then to 59 stations. Am I correct? Now tell us, at that 79 stations, what does it mean? Does it mean there's a scanner there? It means there's whatever else there? What does it mean? What does, in your mind, this rollout mean?
Thank you, Madam Chair. What it means, Madam Chair, is that yes, there is a scanner because the scanning capability is still required for the documents that will not be part of the police system. For instance, like the medical report from the doctor, they will still need to be scanned to be part of the docket. And the functionality that is there is the capability with the courts that are ready to send the docket electronically to court to the NPA. That's what it means, Madam Chair. And that the docket will be updated online and safe, and there is no risk of having the docket getting lost. Thank you, ma'am.
Just I'm opening up for questions. Honorable Kula Barnett, Honorable Mulabati, Honorable McGlobu, in that order, please.
Thank you, Chair. First of all, I'd like to know who chose the stations that the docket system should be tied out in. I find it very curious some of the stations that were chosen and some of the massive stations that have not been afforded this opportunity. And secondly, I was quite taken aback to be told that there is resistance to the implementation of this rollout. Are you telling us we have SAPS members who are ignoring a direct order? They are told to implement a system, and what, they're choosing not to. Since when was that a democratic institution in that regard? They're given orders which they should obey. Are there members who are facing disciplinary action for not implementing this multi-million rand exercise? It's been dragging on year after year after year. Now it gets rolled out to the grand sum of 59 stations, and you're actually sitting here telling us there is resistance. That means people won't use it. I'm speechless. Please.
Honourable Mulabati.
And I'm happy to cover it. But just to say, are we paying, really? If you take us back to command and control, are we really saying people choose what to do when they are at work? Or they are being told to do this. I've been to the Cullinan Police Station, that's my best place, by the way. I've been to Cullinan Police Station. They are comfortably using the captain's seat, and I see if they have the e-document. They are comfortably using the captain's seat. What are the consequences for not taking instructions or doing what is expected? Command and control check that.
If I had Gerald Mubane was talking about CETA, can you just explain the sentence, because I wanted to hear it properly. I don't want to interpret it as if I had it properly. Because he said that there was a problem with CETA, whatever, and so on and so forth. And that is why it took long for them to implement. Did he say that, or what is it there? Am I wrong the way I had it? Because I have a follow-up on that one. Immediately when he can give me an answer on that one, I just want to do a follow-up immediately on that one. That's it.
Can I just, before I put my question, are they in total 59 now? In total? Is it the 20 of last year plus 59, or is it 59 in total?
Yeah.
That has taken us almost 10 years to get to 79. We've got 1,133. So 10 years for 79. We'll reach that point when there's something better than computers. That's when we will reach that point. When we no longer use electricity networks or anything like that. No, that's the other thing I don't understand. Question. 36 million for 20 sites in 2011-12, correct? That's what it costs. 36 million. 52 million for 2012-13. This year you're going to roll out, this financial year you're going to roll out to how many stations? 14. 40. 42 million. Total of 148 million. From 2011 to 2014. Projection for the MTEF is 594 million. You asked for 600 million, you got 148, correct, on this project. Yep. 2014 should have been full rollout. Not me saying so, SAP saying so. Full rollout, 2014. And 14-15 was supposed to be maintenance from there on. At the stations where it is, can you give us an indication, what is the number of dockets that you currently have on the system? Give us a figure of the number of dockets on the system, either scanned in or directly onto the system. Second one is, Commissioner Skipper, we are going to request that from the start of this project, up to this day, for each year, the amount that was allocated to each docket. The second question that I have is the you have it now at these 79 stations. Now the other interesting part of this whole exercise, what is at the 79 stations? It's supposed to be talking to 79 ports, more or less. Some of the stations is the same port. It's supposed to be interacting. Is this happening at these stations? So what I'm asking you is whether the JCPS, the feeder department, whether you can communicate with them from these 79 stations, or have we spent 148 million in total for just 3 years, to simply have what is no more than an electronic scanning system, word processor at station level. Every single member in Parliament have a scanner that talks to their computer. To achieve that, you don't need 10 years. That was done from the moment the elections were called till the moment the new members came in. 3 months, 4 months. And I'm pretty sure it didn't cost that much money either.
When I looked at that list of the stations to which it had been rolled out, it certainly didn't look like 79 stations to me. Are we up to...
We'll provide us with this.
So we have another section. Okay. Now, I'm very interested to see where these things are, because I've yet to see one implemented anyway.
I must be honest, we were at Happington last year. It wasn't there.
It wasn't there.
you know, I think there have been little scanners packed in the back room for how many hundreds of millions?
Even there's a bus.
Let's respond to those questions quickly before we carry on, please.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think General Gubani. First thing will be about the utilization and the resistance. I think there was more than one question in that regard, whether, you know, whether the people accepting the technology and the so-called really is a discretionary aspect. Because as far as I understand it, at some point in time, if this system is fully rolled out, you will have to flip a switch of cash. Because that will have to happen at some point in time. So maybe you can just reflect to that scenario as well, and then we'll go to the next question. So.
Thank you, Chair. Maybe if we can just go through the questions in a chronological order. The first one was, who told...
Commissioner, hang on. Answer the question that Commissioner Skipper asked you now to answer. That's what we've been doing the whole week. We take the questions as they have been put. So please just answer that one question.
Okay, the question is there resistance to the rollout of the system? As I explained, it's not resistance per se. And it's not a such thing, not a command and control thing. It's when you implement a new system, the user, if they have a choice, they still have the old system working, and you present them a new system. Because they are comfortable with the old system, they tend to gravitate towards, and I'm not saying it's like that in general, but there are cases where people are still using the cab, as you can find, as one of my friends mentioned. But there are those who have adopted the new system because it actually works better than the old system. So it's not a general statement. But there are cases where people are still using cars because they're comfortable with it. As to whether there are any people facing this, it's not an issue for me. We are not at that phase where we can actually execute this kind of action because as the technology division, we provide the system and our client division, which are the detectives and the provincial commission, are the ones who actually so we can only provide advice to say this is the system and this is how it works. And if there are issues which the provincial commissioners and the detectives have pointed out to us, we deal with those matters. So I think, Chair, it's safe to say that for us it's not a big issue for now because the CAS is still available. Once the system is fully rolled out, we then switch off CAS and then everybody will default.
Thank you. So you can just then refer to who chooses patients and actually why those patients.
Can I
just
say to them?
Thank you. The first 20 sessions when we started with the implementation were around the Gauteng province. The 20 sessions were chosen based on the network readiness, and that they were closer to the technical team because this was the first implementation. Every new system that is implemented, they are teaching. So the provincial team, the national team was going to be closer to those sites and monitor the problems that the system would be giving the users and attend to them. The further rollout to the 59 stations, those were identified by the provincial commissioners. As said, there are provincial priority stations plus the IGS priority stations. The IGS priority stations are those stations that are saving the cost, that the cost are ready to receive those rockets. That's how the stations were chosen, Madam Chair.
You're answering the question that I've also asked. You're saying to me at all 79 of these stations, the courts are also receiving them.
Not all of them, Madam Chair, but on the stations that are the, on the list of the IGS priority stations, yes, the costs are still resistant.
Thank you.
how many station stalks do the ports?
I have a list here, Madam Chair, which will be given to the Secretary.
You can count them in the meantime while we come to you, and tell us how many stations this thing is actually fully implemented that it talks to the courts as well. Continue with the answers. We will take the follow-up questions, and the Honourable Speaker also have a question.
Maybe we should, in the meantime, then also refer to the chairperson refers to an element as to the scanning, what the functionality that is or that are at those stations, in the sense that what can the system do? So is it merely a scanning capability, or are there others as well?
Thanks, Chair. The system is really not just about scanning. Scanning is but one component. The cost of building the system is really to actually build the application, the programming, and the resources that are used in defining the business processes. So it's quite an involved process. So most, I would say 99% of the cost goes into the development of the system, payment of the resources, that are actually doing the programming. So I think the chairperson was mentioning the, how much we spend per year on the system. It's really not related to the number of police stations that we roll out to. So it's related to the development of the releases as we have specified in the project plan.
You said take the CETA one in terms of the constraint, as you put it. I think that question was asked by the Honourable group and explain to us the CETA constraint in this regard.
Thank you,
John.
Thank you, Chair. The National Network Upgrade Program has three phases. One, it is the cabling of the police station, which must be done because we're coming from an era where we were using coaxial cabling. We're now going into Cat 5 and 6, which is a new standard for cabling. So the new system and the new equipment that we are rolling out, we need to change the cabling. So there is no negotiation about it. It has to happen. There are stations where we are putting new equipment, took out the old lifeless equipment, but the cabling is still not done. So that equipment is standing there. We're still using the old machine. So that is the one element, the cabling. Second element is equipment. So the rollout of equipment. Again, we have a tender that has been suspended for a year now. I'm told that it's now going into evaluation. We have a tender that went out at CETA. It's been outstanding for a year. This past year, we did not roll out any new equipment because of the tender. The third element is the connectivity, what we call the access layer. All it means is we need a telecom or Vodacom or any service provider to give us a 2 megabit link to the station, because we want to have the 64K and the 124K. We simply not be able to run any of the new applications that are running out. So this is a critical dependency we have. The three tenders are still outstanding from the system.
Speak about the technical issues, because we are not technicians. Tell us what is your problem. You say the tender has laid with CETA for a year. That we understand. It's now gone out. It's now for evaluation. So it's going to take another year. So it will be like Tetra. Once you've implemented it, will be outdated. That's exactly what we say to Tetra. But continue.
As I was saying, the cabling tender has been finalized in February of CETA. So we are now rolling out the cabling to another batch of police stations. And this is what I was saying earlier, that phase which has been going for the past few years of doing 200 sites per year means to complete the project, it will take another we want to accelerate this to what I want to have to call the commitment in 2 years.
Is there another question?
Yes, he is chairperson. Then it was also General Buthelezi is still counting. But before we get to that one, I think there's one. Currently, the number of dockets you've requested that's on the system per se. I don't know whether the information is with us, or otherwise we must obtain it as a matter of urgency. But if you don't have that one, please indicate to us the courts, the number of courts and the litigation.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Currently, there are 20 courts that are ready to receive the docket, and there are 32 police stations that are communicating with the courts out of the 79 that are implemented. On the number of dockets, we do not have that figure with us, Madam Chair. We request to provide that figure on the total number of dockets per station.
Ask it this session. We ask how many. I mean, I would think this is a management. For you to see, you talk about resistance. You've got 79 stations. How do you measure resistance? It's by seeing that there are no new doctors coming onto the system. How is it possible that you don't know this? More or less, even. Because the second round of questions. Honorable Kula Barnard, Honorable Stubber. Can I switch you around because you haven't asked the question yet? Honourable Stubber, Honourable Kula Barnard, Honourable Tilly, and myself.
Thank you, Jeff. Just regarding the technology, you know, by stretching out this whole rollout, by the time we start with our rollout team, the technology is so advanced, we outdated. That's exactly what happened here. If you look at the accessibility of network cables, carries on the national cable system. I don't think that we will be able to finalize this project. That's the one. The other thing is that in the place where this system is up and running, like we heard, there is stations where this is up and running. Why don't we migrate to the new system and discard the CAS system? In that way, you force the people to use the new system. People get excited, they see it work much better, they talk with colleagues in other places, they also want to be on the same level, and you create a hype where everybody wants to use it. You don't get a situation where people, they're scared of using technology, using computers, and instead you reverse it, you get them positive. Why can't we discard the CAS system and switch it immediately?
Yeah, Chair, I think two things. Number one, I think this committee must call CETA in as a matter of urgency. They must explain to us why it is they seem incapable of calling a tender. And number two, I want a date from these gentlemen here. I want a date on which the CAS system will be switched off. We've had these elastic deadlines now, year after year after year, and everybody's blamed. And CSIS has told, I mean, you put in equipment where there are no cables. Who takes a decision to put in equipment that sits in boxes for how many years? Surely that's your decision. So I want a date that we can hold you to account for. Give us the date, the deadline. I want to type it on my computer so we know, and we'll put it on our diary and call you back on that day. And if it's not implemented, then we need a very good explanation. Or really, somebody's going to be held to account. Because always they are blame, oh, this one's to blame, that one's to blame. Absolute nonsense. We are sitting on hundreds of millions of rands rolled over and over and over because of this ridiculous program that you don't seem able to implement.
Thank you, Chairperson. The e-filing, to my understanding, Chairperson, is that it will stop the loss of documents. So I was just thinking, is the resistance of this system helping those promote the losing of your case? And to whom do they take orders? Do they decide on their own that we don't want this, we want this? Is there no authority to enforce the system to fully operate? Thanks.
Maybe this is going to be the last round of questions, so can I see Honourable Thorwood?
If I had corrected the general to say in 10 years, what does it imply? What does it mean? Does it mean, therefore, all of this project will take out about 20 years? It's already taken 10. No, you said you will take another 10. You said you will take another 10. That means you will take 20 years to do. Wi-Fi is
can be protected if you deal with your passwords and your things properly. Maybe that's the problem, because we can't trust the people who should tell you what those things to do. So, okay. So let's stop at that. I'm going to give you exactly 10 minutes to answer those questions, and then we're moving over to what is outstanding. Then we will decide whether you bring it in writing or whether we will have a meeting to deal with the docket.
Thank you, Jefferson. There was a statement made, a remark, a comment made regarding the sita to come. I don't think we can respond on that one. That is a, it was a statement. Then there was a question surrounding the date of CAS being switched off, so to speak. There was also an indication relating to that of the possibility of, as you implement, you sort of transgress to the other one, you switch up with the previous one. I don't know whether it can be done, but please some comments on that as well, so that you have that phase, that step approach. Let's first go with those two, please.
Thank you, Chair. On the question of the date of switching off of CAS, as I've stated, there are a lot of dependencies. The plan that we have for the program itself is
not being rude. You either have a date or you don't have a date. There is a lot of dependencies. You're planning towards a date. There might be things that, that influence that date. What is the planning towards? What date are you planning to switch off things?
The date at which we will have a full network rollout, as I said, I'd like to have that done in the next 2 financial years. So that will be the date at which we'll be able to switch off CAS.
That's fine. The reality is, you have how many stations networks have been upgraded currently? How many?
About 800.
800. So 200, 333 still need to be done. It's 800 sites. It's not 800 stations. It's 800 sites. How many stations?
I don't have that information.
You see why I say it won't be 2 years. Just based on that, it won't be 2 years. But carry on. It's fine. We've got a date of 2 years. That's what they say. 2 years. 2 years, financial years, or are we two financial years? Members, those of you who are here after the next elections in 2014, 2015, so you say 2015, you're delivering. 2015-16 financial year. So we're actually talking 3 financial years. This is a new financial year we're in. So it's already not 2 years, it's 3 years. Those of you who are here for these hearings in 2016, you will then hear that it's been fully rolled out. Please put it in your diaries and ask that question. Then continue, please.
Thank you, sir. Just to refer to the honourable member, we refer to a or proposed methodology of switch off phasing. Or facing switch off, whether it will be possible. I don't know in terms of reporting, but I'm not an expert in terms of the specific system, so the whole system. So, please respond.
Thank you, Chair. The reason why we can't switch off CAS in the qualification while we have rolled out the e-docket is that it's not all the releases that have been rolled out. As you saw in the plan, we are on release 4 right now. Still have to go up to release 9, which is what we hope by the end of this financial year, March 2014, we will finish release 9. At that point, we will be able to switch off a police station from CAS.
I'm taking not having the presentation. I must be honest with you, because I want to go back to see what is release 4 and what is release 9, etc.
it's fine. Let's just carry on, please.
Thank you, Chair. There was a specific comment made regarding will e-docket, is it foreseen, is it estimated, is it envisaged that e-docket will reduce the loss of dockets as well? In the sense that at least after you scan the docket, well, dockets will still have to be archived for a lengthy point of time, but at least you then have, shall I say, a new docket.
You please.
Yes, the intention of the e-docket is to reduce the loss of dockets. However, the question was, is the resistance helping the loss of the docket? I don't believe that is the intention. People's lack of comfort with the new system. I would like to believe that. I don't believe that it is an underhanded thing for anyone trying to go around the system.
That then brings us to the question of the chairperson also, which relates to the transfer of skills scenario. And the status, and then also, I think, in relation to that, I think we have to deal with it in a dual scenario, especially relating to maintenance, and then also, have we or envisaged a change management scenario in order to reorientate members to the usage of the system?
Thank you, Chair. Yes, this is an important question for us because part of our turnaround strategy is to start to build capacity internally. The project has been developed by CITA on our behalf using contracted resources. They've had many challenges themselves in getting people contracted to the program. So what we are planning to do, and then our colleagues can talk to it, is to actually start to build internal capacity. To this end, we did publish a tender last year, which was done via our supply chain, a body shop tender, that will be able to, through the tender, source the skills and get contractors who can work with our own people and to take over that project from CITA.
No, I understood exactly what you said, and I am astonished. There's a new contract that is going to go out for what should have been in the first contract, the transfer of skills.
No, the body shop tender is a total, a new vehicle for us that we put in place last year to enable us to get resources because they start to discontinue tender 569, which was for resources. In terms of the e-docket, in terms of the e-docket system, there are resources at CITA which are contracted by CITA, which we are going to take over. So what we are doing is to build our own internal capacity so we can manage those resources and have to transfer skills so that when the project comes to an end, we as staff are able to maintain that system going forward.
Aren't you maintaining the firearm control system? You've got no resources left. The last person has left.
Exactly. That's the problem of trying to
address. It comes back to the commissioners because it comes back to what I've said. And I'm not wrong in what I'm saying. The contract, the original contract, that was the AG's criticism against us. Transfer of skills does not take place within the contract. It should form part of the contract. Now we hear there's skills at CETA. We all know CETA is supposed to have skills, and we will take them over. You're supposed to transfer skills to your department. Transfer does not mean I take Mr. McGee and I transfer him to Ms. Coase. It doesn't mean that. It means I take the knowledge of Mr. McGee and I transfer that knowledge to Ms. Coase. So that she were able to do Ms. McKinsey's job. That's what it means. It doesn't mean a physical transfer of a body. That's what the AG criticizes about all the time. You don't do transfer of skills.
Okay, it's fine. Let's just carry on, please. I still want Commissioner Muller to respond as well. Carry on, please.
Yes, part of system implementation is to do change management, which is training of the individual on the new business processes and how the system is going to support those processes. That happens when we roll out your qualification, we make sure that people have trained on the system. As I said, you know, with people, they will be trained, they will know how to use the system technically. However, if the other system is still available, some tend to go back to the old system. So there is the process, but people will find it.
Muller, can I, before you answer the question, tell me, detective train at training level, are they now trained on the CAS system or on the EDOC system? And it's clear for me that we don't have an understanding of change management either. It's not about training somebody, it's about more than that. This is a question added to the one that I've already put to you, please.
Regarding whether we want this system, what we want, when we were in the process of developing the system, we've given our requirements to CMS, and we saw this system that's going to actually assist us a lot in the sense that I would not have to go down to a station to go and look at it. If I want to give an instruction, I will be able to open it at my office and say, whoever they do A, B, and C, that's not done. So it is something that we wanted, but we wanted to work the way we envisioned it, that we'll be able to.
Is it working the way you want? That's simple what we want to know. Is it working the way you wanted it? Your initial requirements.
General Chair, at this stage, that functionality hasn't been given to us at national level. We have given the details of the people that should have access for security reasons. We only identify certain persons that should have access to those offices. Besides the IO, the investigating officer, the provincial air detector service, and at national, the component there should have access to those offices so that we can monitor the investigation. So at this stage, we don't have that.
The system speaking to your initial requirements, other than you not having access yet for whatever reason.
At the stations, yes, at the stations where they're implemented, because the docket, like in Durban, the docket is being sent to Port DC. The docket, not the physical docket, the e-docket has been sent to Port, so it saves time in the traveling and all. So it is working. It's just that we wanted to work at all the stations so that we can have access.
Training of detectors.
Madam Chair, at this stage we are training the detectors and the commanders only on the cabin.
Really. I knew that was going to be the answer. When I put that question, I knew it was going to be the answer. It's absolutely ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Part of change management is also to start training. I'm not saying stop training them on the CAS system because they might go to a station that does not have this yet. But surely you start training them on the new system you're going to use. So what we're basically saying is we've got Hammanskraal at the Detective Training College, but Hammanskraal does not even have a dummy e-docket where we can train the detectives that go there. It's brilliant. It's wonderful training. That's fine. Let's just move on. I mean, I've heard enough about this. I don't know if members, we all know where we are. Wi-Fi, sorry, you didn't respond to the issue. Why are we going the expensive route of cables?
That's an important question. We have actually looked at the wireless network. We want to pilot a project set up on the wireless. However, to roll out to the police stations, they are, again, it becomes complicated because once our network upgrade program is complete, we want to implement voice over IP, which means the phone, the fax, the computer, everything will be used in one transit. Now, with the Wi-Fi, there are security issues that we can't.
starting
prevention of from medication and some of the prevention operations. The two sub-programs, the strategic objectives there, have to do with three key areas: gather, correlate, coordinate, and analyze intelligence, specific counterintelligence measures, and to supply counterintelligence related to national strategic intelligence to NICO. The program comprises of the following sub-programs which are indicated earlier on: transit cooperation and internet information management. In line with the objectives mentioned earlier, the government indicators are the following: the number of network operations conducted with a target that is set for the financial year being 29,552 network operations. And sitting also there is the number of covert intelligence projects conducted to address priority crimes particularly. And the targets are not showing, as to be explained later. And then the percentage, the next one, that is to institute counterintelligence measures. There, the indicators are the following: percentage of identified foreign intelligence operations that should be neutralized, percentage of security threat assessments that should be conducted, percentage of information security breaches. And for those, just like the previous one, are classified. The next sub-program is on intelligence and information management. It also addresses two strategic objectives. The first indicator there has to do with the number of intelligence products generated to address priority crime. The target there is 258,000. And quarterly intelligence report that should be presented to management to indicate the state of crime intelligence. It's a quarterly intelligence report provisioning, so it's one per quarter. And then the last one has to do with the supplying of countries of international intelligence to the MINCOG. The document indicated there has to do with the percentage of strategic intelligence reports that will have to be generated per the request. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. That is all I was citing. Presentation on the crime intelligence system.
Before I open up for questions, I want to ask the Honourable Stewart to assist me, please. Honourable Stewart, counterintelligence or crime intelligence? Okay. Educate me, please. I'm sorry, I don't understand it.
Chair, I think I'll leave that you must ask that question. Yes, there is counterintelligence in crime intelligence.
Now, I see it is here. I'm actually more asking about the desirability of it being here. But in any case, it's fine. Continue. Let's ask questions. It's going to be an interesting session. We'll do it and cover. Honourable Mulugosi, Honourable Kulagona, Honourable Mugogo, in that order.
On that check, on slide 75, it says, yeah, let me read that one check. My first question is, why is there an inclusion of target of four quarterly intelligence?
Thank you, Chair. I'd like to know how far along the hearings are, and to the suspended members of crime intelligence. I'm very concerned that we're seeing huge amounts that are being spent on salaries of suspended members. I mean, we know it happens a lot in the SAPs where that 60-day period is not met, and they sit on salaries month after month after month, sometimes till they retire. We've had two members at least suspended in crime intelligence. That matter should have been done and dusted by now. What is the status of that? What is the status of Richard and Lully, also still on full salary, suspended? And how far along is the investigation of the Inspector General into the abuse of what's become known as the slush fund, the hiring of relatives, the general use of that money for anything but the correct purposes? Do we have a date when that will be completed? Thank you.
It's just one correction. It's not 60 days, it's a 90 days. 90. It's a blur. It doesn't even appear. 90 days. Global?
Jefferson, on slide number 75. I just want to ask 2011-25.
Mr. Menzio. If a target is classified, don't put the target in an open document. Don't put it in an open document. But since it's there, I would like you to explain to me that classified target, how you see it as compelling to Treasury's requirement that it be a smart target. Explain to me how classified is a smart target. There's a drop in personnel in this environment. There's a drop in personnel. Yet there's an increase in the budget. Can I get an explanation of that one, please? Also, you keep on telling us it's labor intensive. Still the drop is there. Have we got enough staff doing what they should be doing in this environment to provide the crime-fighting intelligence that the police service need? I'll stop with that one. I've got more questions, but we'll get you to answer these and then we'll continue.
Thank you, Chair. I think we follow the same methodology. The first question is why, with the reference made to the remittance of quarterly reports, can you maybe just refer to reflect to that one before we go to the next question, please?
Thank you, Madam Chair. The study, the issues of quarterly report results mostly within the central and the work center.
Now pass it back there as well. So let's answer the question, Commissioner Menzio, please. Quarterly target is in your environment. Please carry on. Answer the question.
The contractors are sitting here, she just saying. Yeah, they are showing in the what you call. But is it about the absence in the IR plan itself? Can I get clarity on that?
You did not listen when we were visiting. Commissioner Skitter, please repeat the question.
The remittance of quarterly target, as far as I understand, and please correct me, but it says performance indicator, quarterly intelligence reports provided. So there must be quarterly targets, and I think the question is then, why aren't they quarterly targets?
You've got the question.
Yeah.
The question is about this new wonderful intelligence target for management. What is this? That's what it is. What is this? Intelligence reports for management. What is this? You don't have to give us the classified answer. We're not asking you to tell what's in this report. You tell us what the purpose of the report is.
Chairperson, let me ask you something quickly. The understanding is that the on a quarterly basis, the climate justice environment will have to also update management in clubs on the status of climate-related issues from their environment. This is an indicator that is wanting to assist in the department in knowing what, how to prioritize content, cooperation, and everything else. But, mostly, actually, these are something that
very interesting that this is a new topic. Very, very interesting. Continue, please. We're waiting for your explanation.
Thank you, Chef. This quota report, they are mainly meant for the senior management to be updated on what is the status in terms of the crime around the country. And we do produce a big product in terms of those ones on a quarterly basis. That is one. Two, there is also reports that are being produced from the environment on weekly and monthly basis. That goes to all stations as well as to the senior management of the clubs. So those are the reports that we, the products that we give to the management to address or to address them on the situation of the country. I think that's what I can update on in terms of this quarterly report.
Thank you. Then there was a question regarding the status of suspension in this environment and also with reference to a specific individual or two. I don't think we can really comment on those individuals per se. We can comment on more of a generic statement regarding suspensions in this environment. Obviously, though, there are criminal or investigations and proceedings regarding some of the officials in that environment. We cannot comment on that. And then also the slash gun fund, the so-called slash gun is a secret service account and is totally outside this vote. It does not form part of the open vote per se, and it's a separate arrangement. I don't know, General Gorbel, whether you would like to respond to the scenario of suspensions in general.
Yeah, thank you, General. And thank you, Chair. I think in general, as I said, maybe it should be maybe challenging also for me to respond on those ones that have been going on. Hence, it's out of the I environment. It's managed by the other division. But what I can give in terms of the status, in terms of other disciplinary processes that are in place, in terms of suspension or how many have been suspended within the environment itself, the figures will be that currently as we are talking, we talk of that we've got 21 disciplinary and criminal cases on hand, of which two of them they talk to fraud, and then two they talk to robbery, two they talk to theft, and one murder, as well as sexual assault and one for pointing of firearms. Those what we've got currently in the environment as the processes in terms of the disciplinary processes. And as well, Chair, in terms of the money family continues to generate is one of the huge salary spend that we remember sustaining. On that question, the arrangement or the understanding within the environment is that it needs to be understood in a correct context that the environment itself is not stabilized. Almost 80% of the environment is on acting capacity. And as a result, all those that have been suspended for whatever reason, they are still getting those salaries. And the people that are occupying those positions where they were, they also get paid those allowances as well. of which that explained that the suspension, which is supposed to meet certain requirements but is not within the environmental control, it's through the Department of Division that is dealing with those cases. And saying that I agree, confirming that indeed there is such salary spent to people that are suspended, but the cases are not yet finalized. And also, if I may continue in terms of that why we include these targets if they are classified. Madam Chair, again, I think on our sub-APP, on page 36, it also explained maybe sort of indicating why we did so. But the inclusion of this performance indicator is intended to indicate the extent of measuring the crime intelligence environment. All areas marked classified and plan accounted for in a different language. We can, in the meantime, and I think one needs to add that to that.
Commissioners, stop this. I can read as well. We've read that sentence. The point is, if something is classified, you don't put it in an open document. You've never done it in the past. Never done it in the past. I mean, what is this new brilliance of putting classified things in here? And the worst part is, even if you did put a target, for instance, let's take one of these that you classify. Number of percentage of information security breaches. Quite frankly, I can't see why that should be classified. There's another one that I thought was just absolutely provision of strategic intelligence projects to NECOC. Why, if you want to put it in there, why you put classified? You're raising more questions than is necessary. Take the damn target out or put there 100%. We're not going to ask you about what the report is. We're never going to ask you about it because we know we can't do it. Honourable Stuber.
Can we please go to slide 75? with a 24 kind of level, intensity level, then it pops up to 49,000 and then it dips down again to 28. I think that was a question of the honourable member, just to indicate that extraordinary peak that occurred there, and then it is again 28, 29, 32, which is at least higher than 2011. Can we just explain the, I think the word was anomaly in terms of the 49,000, which appeared in that regard. Thank you.
Thank you, General. Thank you, Chair. The increase in terms of business network operation during the financial year 2011-2012, the 49,019, it can be explained as follows. That is the network operation that took place. Normally, the network operation, they take place at the cluster level. And the effect of hosting the 2010 FIFA World Cup manifested itself in the subsequent financial year of 2011-2012. This resulted in cluster registering more network operation to address that emanating from their areas of operation. So that means that if you remember, Madam Chair, that the 2010 Soccer World Cup, when it happened 2010, and then all those operations that came out part of that event, then that's when they were registered during the next financial year. That's what makes the peak in terms of those network operations.
Thank you, sir. Then you refer to the drop in personnel. Here's a drop in personnel on the outer, on the new MTA. Of the interim, you will see that the number for 12:30 was a September number, and then it was an estimate that we will, in the current financial year, go to 8,866. There will be a drop based on the affordability in terms of this program, which we will again, in this year, revise. We have requested for more personnel and to maintain and more personnel in this regard, and we will again pursue it with more detailed explanation. You've also referred, do we have sufficient personnel? In this program, I think we need an upgraded personnel. And especially, you were already going to ask for what? For ground coverage, let's say. That is what we've also indicated in our request, but to the National Treasury in this regard. But we will have to pursue this high priority also in the next MP that's again starting. Because we had first to absorb our stabilization to say that we stabilize on a certain level. But this is an area where we will definitely present a request for growth with a substantial motivation to do well. Because as you very well know, Chair, in order to increase personnel expenditure these days, you must have a very, very sound. But yes, the opinions of the ground coverage. That's that.
Questions, members? Honourable Kula Bagnat.
Yeah, I'd like to go back to the suspended members. This is one entity of the SAS where I have always believed they were carefully vetted, and yet I heard murder, fraud, theft, and that's all I got down of the 21. So we're talking about a block of criminality, suspended members in an entity where they should have all had very careful security and psychometric testing. How did they get into this division, and are all these matters simply sitting in for how long? You have the 90-day cutout. Are we again paying people on full salary who are facing murder charges and fraud theft? Have they been arrested, or are you attempting to deal with this internally before you take a decision as to whether they should be arrested or not? I'm extremely unhappy to hear that you have members being arrested for crimes like this, especially, I mean, it's bad enough in the rest of SACS where we have
a block of criminality, but to have it in this tradition where your checks should have been immaculate is extraordinary.
Any other questions? I have a question, but it's a new question. Is there any new questions so that we can take it if there is? I've got a question, but it's a new question. I want an explanation to indicate to me there's a change in focus and wording in one of your... Let me start one step back. In the past, Commissioner Skipper, you would know this, you've been working this out for quite a long time. Always said, let's try and keep the performance indicators constant, that we measure, so that it be measurable, because you want to do evaluations over years. So, in that sense, if we measure detectives in 10 years' time on conviction rate, we can compare it to conviction rate of the day. In this program, there's a change. In provide crime intelligence products, I just want to make sure that I have the right one here. Provide crime intelligence products to support crime prevention and the investigation of crime. It used to focus also on convictions, the system of convictions. There were two. One was focusing on convictions. I can check whether I have the wording here with me. Provide crime intelligence products for crime prevention and the investigation of crime, it says currently. It used also to say focus on prosecution. Why have we taken away the focus on prosecution? Can I get an explanation on that one, please? We're going to break for tea now when we come back, because after this setup, after we take no further questions, I'm going to wrap up the meeting as well. So we're going to break for tea. Going to have an opportunity also when we get back. We will then wrap up the meeting as well.
Thank you.
Oh.
It came wrong.
I don't know, because I've actually just got the list now. I think it was
Google Buy. They're calling the commissioner, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, we can just have a look and then put it in.
Yeah.
Thank you. another campaign of that man is back in his needle. Oh, we got him. Okay.
I mean, that one right?
Yeah.
With some.
Yeah. Okay.
Another two eyes.
Yeah. Thank you. Mm. Okay.
And then on this
other one that refers to the prosecution and investigation, Madam Chair, will ask the director over to details. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The shift from prosecution to investigation of crime actually is informed by the fact that crime intelligence in the name is out to assist in the investigation of crime. And we assist the division detective services. And after that, the division detective services are the one who lies more with the prosecution for pushing the criminal case to court. So I think that has been a change or shift in the thinking that as opposed to prosecution, let others deal with crime with investigation, which is more the business that crime intelligence does on a day-to-day basis. So I think that was the whole direction of behind. But we take note that of the concern from the commission. Thank you.
Just said, should be explained to us because you don't just change targets. And I also find it interesting, at what point does the light then come on for crime diligence that we are actually not, we shouldn't be prosecuting, because that's what you've done all the years. And then suddenly, somewhere, somebody decided, no, we're not going to do it anymore. We're just doing it now in terms of investigation. Quite frankly, I think prosecution is not a bad thing to have for crime diligence, because it also shows about the quality of the diligence reports. But clear that to me, the reason why I've raised it is that you expect consistency, the consistency in terms of performance targets. Just one last thing, if I may. Your people, your vetting process, your backlogs still are saturated with the nature that people get vetted while they're already in positions, or are they getting vetted before they get moved to those positions? How many vettings are outstanding? Finish one, please.
With regard to the vetting itself, the environment is clearly a challenge in terms of human resources for vetting personnel to cover all the areas or to cover all staff personnel. But in terms of the strategy that was there, was that we have to refocus again on the internal part of it to vet the members that they are getting clearances or certificates and expired. That's one. Two, to focus also on the senior management SMS members. And then three, also to focus on supply chain management, DPCI, the Ministry of Police, and then as well as the service providers of SARS. But then in terms of the total, the numbers that we are, they are quite challenging, as I said, in terms of human resources, that when we look at the total number of staff, I think it's 199345, and then in terms of SMS, we all staff, they are 725, but only 116 that have got active clearance, which means that they've got clearance certificate. And then in terms of the CI itself, the total number of members is 7938, of which 1,019 is only those members that have got certificate. Hence, we engage on the new strategy of going through it. We have already started with the process of getting human resources. We have received 111 members that will be adding to the capacity building around the dating environment.
You still haven't answered the question that was asked. The question was, you gave them a lot of bonus information, thank you very much for that. But the question that was asked is, in your environment, do people get appointed before they get vetted? Are they sometimes in position before?
vetted, or do they first get vetted and then get into the institutions?
Thank you, Madam Chair. What it did with the current members that are there, as I said, we engaged that we are going to start with the process. When we receive new members, they do not get employed or to have access to the environment before they get here. We have already started with that process, of which we are supposed to get almost 88 members, but 10 kicked out differently. And then, because we engage on that one, what we already employed or to be destined to the CI environment.
One last remark, if I may, and then I want to summarize, then we are ready to go. Before I summarize, Commissioner Sitter, I will give you an opportunity if there's something from the department side, and then we'll summarize. Last year, you would remember, and I'm not referring to these unnecessary targets who are in the event every year at the club. I think to spare all of us the unnecessary pain of this needs to be removed. I think it's quite clear that Treasury says that the target's got to be smart, but that they say it's got to be strategic. It's got to be measurable. It's got to be appropriate. It's got to be relevant. And it's got to have a time frame attached to it. That's what Treasury's requirements around the target are. Now, that brings me to the debate that we've had here last year during this period as well, where we said to you, those things that you report to us, the open facts. So in other words, we're talking about the crime intelligence officer at station level, we're talking about crime intelligence operations at crime at this level that is open, that is not classified, etc. So let's go to that 2, 3, 4, 0, 0, those parts. We said to you, but that's bigger. And it's fine. But we also need to start adding a weight to it, a quality to it. We need to know what those reports are relevant. Were they appropriate for the time? I mean, many of those reports that you get, you don't act upon. So I'm pleading again with the department. Instead of coming to us with classified targets, apply your mind how you can better measure these things so that it also makes more sense that we can see that the money that we are voting to you are not going to waste. If, for instance, you can tell us we are aiming to have so many reports, and of those we want 20% or 30% or 40% of them to lead to prosecutions, to be connected with a cash number. It's not impossible for you to do that. It will also give you as managers an opportunity to see, is my crime intelligence officer at this station performing the way they should? Why is none of these crime intelligence reports that I'm getting from this station leading to a prosecution and leading to an arrest? So let's look at something that is more measurable. This is the one thing that I think this committee needs from this program in the department. Something that is more measurable. Tracing numbers is nothing. I'll write you 5 crime intelligence reports today. The quality thereof is going to be 0. But that's delivered on. So please, let us see what we can do in that regard. We are aware of the fact that this environment is still very much unstable. And you've said to us how many people are still acting, etc., etc. And we would urge the department to stabilize this environment as quickly as possible. Matter of urgency. We see too many things happening where we ask ourselves as members, where was crime intelligence held? The practical example that I can give you, I'm not going to go in full, but we that that information was available before it came to me because of the fact that this embassy did not get satisfaction from dealing with facts. And we shouldn't be going. We shouldn't get to that point. And that's why I say have measurables for your spells as well. Not for our purpose. We're not asking you, like your head of Visible has said, we're not asking you for these targets because it's a requirement. It's also a management tool. It's something that empowers the department as well. I know. Don't worry. I would like to summarize the week, and before I do that, I'm going to give an opportunity to yourself, Commissioner Skitty, if there's anything that you still want to raise on behalf of the department, or if you want to bring something under our attention, you're more than welcome to do so, and then I will summarize and close.
I'll request you to check this in there too. You see, when the department is unstable because of the active, we have to have a time frame of this active. When you summarize it again, it will assist. So that they are not put in the jeopardy because they are active. You see, this active, this is an environment which you can't avoid people's active all the time. But I am leaving you here for the summer.
Just also remember that this committee will have a report, you will look at the recommendation, and there's nothing stopping this committee to have a recommendation that also reads that the environment must be stabilised within, and we can give a date to that. I don't want to speak of the whole committee in terms of that, but I do take the point of the honourable Commissioner
Skitty,
over to you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just on Program 5, I think all of those which is classified, we will then take out. Program 4, we will then take out, and we will also look at maybe a refined scenario in terms of the figures of family there, maybe express them as a percentage of something or related to something. Just remember that if we do so, it might also be that it will become a new one, or it could be audited actual might change or whatever. So we try to give them more flesh, but we shall use that specific one in order to refine it and give it more of a qualitative nature in this regard. And we will take out the others per se. If we talk about the full scenario and the whole week that we have attended to the hearings, the portfolio committee hearings, I think it is self-explanatory of nature, but and one cannot really conclude it with three or four sentences. But leave it as it may. The first thing maybe is to express our appreciation for members of the committee and the inquisitiveness that we have been we have experienced in this regard. It is important as an oversight body and then also for the partners to account. One thing we can definitely say that I think a lot of information has been shared, but also some information has been provided. I would appreciate maybe just a target back from your side on the information that's still outstanding that we have to provide you kind of, or kind of the nature of services that are being rendered in that regard. We trust also that the information, a lot of information that was also shared and will be shared, will meet the approval of this committee, and we thank them in this regard for the attention they have given, for their presence, and also for the comments they have made in respect of the of a number of these aspects. We will surely also go back and then evaluate it and come up with the necessary actions in this regard. I think I've said more than enough in terms of the 4 days, and I know the members are eagerly on their way to their different locations, so let me just stop there, but once again, appreciation to all the members and their involvement in this committee towards us. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Commissioner Skitter. Members, I'm just quickly going to summarize so that we can meet our time frame of 12 o'clock. First of all, we started our meetings on Tuesday and we finished the day Friday. Program 1, the committee requested the following additional information. Number of additional posts in the resource allocation, include the number of these posts filled as well as the cost thereof. Income generated by the department from scrap metal pertaining to boarded vehicles. Comprehensive report regarding the bursaries given to staff by the department. It should include the number and type of bursaries awarded for 2013-14, number and type of bursaries awarded in the previous two financial years, number of personnel referral because and whether the money associated with the bursary was recovered by the department. Department should also provide all relevant information on the contract signed by the beneficiaries and also provide an example of the signed contract. Department must explain the reasons for the large number of operational staff members who do not have a valid driver's license, the turnaround strategy around that, by around the driver's license, and also how it's going to be dealt with the new intake. Department should provide a detailed report on the newly developed asset register policy approach in terms of vehicle allocation and stations once approved by management. So the deadline is once approved by management. Comprehensive list of all capital works projects. It was actually requested by Commissioner Cruiser that he would like to provide it to us, so we are just re-emphasizing that we still need to get that. The comprehensive list of all capital works projects for the 2013-14 year broken down in the state of the project, the completion dates, and its costs. Current SAPS policy on the procurement of VIP or luxury vehicles cost in excess of 450,000. This should include the criteria used when determining the procurement of these types of vehicles, as well as the current vehicle strength within this category and the number which will be procured by such in the 2013-14. Partners provide the exact number of internships positioned in such for 2013-14, also the environment thereof, and the cost associated with the internships, and the policy documents on the interns. Partners must provide full details on the current court case regarding format and also when the case is expected to finalize. Details report on the increases to the entertainment account of the department in 2030 compared to the previous financial year. It should be clearly stated what constitutes the entertainment and the purpose for which it will be used. Department should provide a detailed roll-off plan for the installation of CCTV cameras in high crime areas, clear time places and cost allocations. Name details of the contact person to which members of the department can forward complaints regarding all members and region points. Comprehensive list on the upgrading of such living quarters with clear time frames and costs. Comprehensive report on adult basic education and training, together with the number of operational members attending these courses and costs associated with these. So also include the time frame when all operational members will complete it. Department must provide details of the satisfaction survey completed on the police from SCADA format. It was about the numbers, sample size, the service provider, and the response rate of the survey. Report on regular accommodation paid to provincial commissioners. This should include the SAPS policy
whether the reduction target on risk management will be accepted. That's a discussion we will have. And a meeting to be scheduled on a briefing of the revised rank once confirmed. The department should ensure that resources are allocated to stations based on real needs, the recommendation of the committee, that the resource allocation guide to remain relevant and how effectively used in the planning process. I hope that the asset register approach will assist stations in receiving the exact resources that are needed to effectively deliver services to the community. For the department, another recommendation from the committee on administration should prioritize staff development, especially in terms of rudimentary training like capability and ABS. There are, will be more, just those that we have done on those steps. Program 2, Visible Police. Committee requests the following additional information from this call. A list of the 41 stations where second policing has not yet been implemented. That was received, so we've got that list to complete that off. In reference to the recent fate of Robert Smith at the Albany Police Station, a report on the investigation into these robberies must be made available to the committee upon completion of the investigation. A relevant detail on the departmentally charged member who aided the scratch state in East Pompey during the 2013. 14 years, that was also received, however, the information provided is only for 6 months and not for the 12 months. The relevant information should also be provided for the following 6 months, running from 1st October to 31st. Details on the number of debt accounts that have been created for the repayment of lost state property, firearms, etc., especially for the loss of firearms. It should include the number of investigations regarding the loss, as well as the outcomes of disciplinary actions taken against members. Department must provide the number of appeals on firearm applications currently on the system, as well as the data for the oldest application currently there. Provide clear deadline for the implementation of recently reviewed national instructions. On sector policing, sub-13 stores, and disciplinary procedures. Once it's been adopted by management, obviously again, we're not going to give you a deadline in your program. Provide a list of all the police stations where station commanders are fully trained on all models of senior management learning programs. A list of members fully trained on station management that are not currently employed at station commander level. Department should provide the committee with an action plan on gender-based violence developed by the Interministerial Committee on Gender-Based Violence and Commission. Provide a detailed report on criminality within SAFs, must include the review of internal disciplinary procedures, as well as the number of SAFs members currently employed and have a criminal record. The report must clearly indicate what action will be taken by SAFs to rid the organization of criminal members. Department must provide a detailed report on the efforts taken to improve the compliance of legislation, particularly DVA and charges. Recommendations for this fall are going to skip those, you will get them in our report. Program 3, Detective Services, following additional information, additional documentation on whether the DTI is becoming a designated program. Comprehensive report on the verified number of detectives currently in SAFs must be provided. Report on discrepancies of audits. That's the report that you referred to yesterday in terms of the density of the personal system, etc. So we don't need a confirmation. You've asked for it under the signature of the Commissioner so that we are all in agreement that that's the official thing. Comprehensive report on the training of detectives, including those already trained on all models of ROC and those not yet fully trained. Court should also include the gender breakdown of detectives. Utilization of retired detectives. Report on the outcome of the investigation of case involving the theft of cocaine seized at the OR Tongue Airport and latest stolen from Logari in Gauteng. Report on the consequences to members guilty of misusing state-owned vehicles, specifically relating to the two cases cited by the committee concerning the problem of football. Recommendations for the detective service target for stock theft should be included in the 2014-15 activities. Cases closed and detected should be included in 2014-15. Target on detection rate of serious crimes must be increased in the 2014-15 activities. Target on the implementation of the e-document system must be included in the 2014-15. For crime intelligence, there were no additional information that we requested. However, we do make two specific recommendations. The one is classified targets must be removed. The second one is targets must meet SMART requirements. vendors, protection and security services, the vehicle strength of the VIP fleet. This should include the number of vehicles used and cost per vehicle. Recommendations for protection services. I think you did provide that answer today, so we can scrap that one. And then the recommendations. The department should consider developing peer-to-peer partners for members employed in the protection security service program, especially for those members at static security points, to ensure that adequate mobility for members are available. E-docket, the allocation to e-docket, the presentation material is e-docket. Allocation for e-dockets from 2002-03 after that. Number of dockets scanned to date on the system and the full list of 79 stations that have been rolled out, plus the plan for this coming year, where it's going to be rolled out for this financial year and the year thereafter. Members, it's been quite a long week. I know I'm feeling tired, so I'm pretty sure you all are feeling tired as well. I want to thank members, first of all, for your commitment to be here. It's never this time of the year and annual report time, it's never an easy time for this committee. I do think that members' commitment to the interest of SAPS is displayed in the commitment that members also show in attending and participating in this committee. Members do not criticize the department simply for criticizing. Members feel part of this department. Members, some members, I think, have more of a passion for SAPS than some SAPS members appeared before us during this week. And I honestly thank you for your commitment, for your attendance, for your questions that you've asked, for keeping it light, even under tiring circumstances. We will use all this information that we've gathered, and I'm sure we will debate these when we are debating on the 30th of May. Allow me also to thank the department, and specifically those commissioners who have been with us since Tuesday, Commissioner Skitter, Commissioner Kruger, Commissioner Lamour, Brigadier, Commissioner Menzio, Kevin, that Brigadier Malastrela, Kevin is almost part of the committee, because if we don't get something, we scream at Kevin. It takes more plaque than any of you on your behalf. So I want to thank you, Commissioner Skitter, those information that we need. I'm not talking about the plans that still need to be adopted by management and by the interministerial committees. You have until Monday the 29th of April. And we're not trying to be funny about it. We've got to compile a report that's got to go through parliamentary processes before we can debate this vote. And for that reason, we need the information. So the 29th of April, for that, the others, as and when they become available, we would expect them. I would urge SAPS members to see this interaction that has taken place over the week in an encouraging way and not in a negative way. It is because we care. You do not say to your child everything is okay if they've done wrong, because you want to correct it. And we care about this about. Some of us have been on this committee, the same committee, for 15 years plus. And some of us have been longer in this committee than some of you have been in your positions, quite frankly. And if you are taking criticism personally, that is your choice. But that is not the intention of the committee. The intention of the committee is to collaborate to a point where we can say, thank you very much, we are all happy with what we have here. We think you have performed exceptionally. We also acknowledge that all is not bad with inserts. There's no question about it. If it was, our jails will not be as full as it is. And for that, we want to thank every single man and woman in blue who do the uniform proud. I think we must say, and that word. Because unfortunately, everybody does not do that. But to those who do, to put their life on the line for the rest of South Africa, we thank them and we acknowledge that commitment. Thank you very much, Commissioner Schutter, and your team. Thank you very much, Mendes. Meeting is adjourned. Enjoy your week.
Before we close, I'd like to thank you very much. You've done a very good job this week under sometimes very trying circumstances. And I know you and I don't often see eye to eye, but you've done a spectacular job. So all kudos to you. Thank you very much.